The title of tonight's message is Kings Unto God. And I was thinking about that as I was listening to Pastor Bronk. He's doing a series called Kings and Priests. And I have been listening to the series and doing what Pastor does when he listens to other people teach. Has pen in hand, paper, Bible, take notes. And as I was doing that, the Lord kind of talked a little bit about what is a king in his eyes? What is a king in his eyes? And the question is really a great question, because today, the body of Christ as an idea of kings that is not in agreement with what the Bible says. Okay? We're going to begin in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, we're going to read the first six verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Notice that. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ, and who did he get it from? What does the Bible say? Which God gave unto him. So what he is about to share, God shared with him. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. God shared it with him. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. The prince of the kings of the earth. What kings is this verse referring to? Is it referring to the king of England? Is referring to the king of Persia or Iran or whoever? It's referring to us, ladies and gentlemen. This is the kings he's referring to, because we are his kings. Notice that. We are kings of the Prince of Kings. Okay? The Prince of Kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I want to read something to you. Walking in the authority of a king has been so misinterpreted by me-focused ministers in the body of Christ. It's been misinterpreted by me-focused in the body of Christ. Well, Brother Barrett, what do you mean by me-focused ministers? The ministers tell us that this message is all about what God will do for you. You being a king in the kingdom of heaven, it's all about what God is going to do for you. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a doctrine of devils. I'm going to repeat that again. That is a doctrine of devils. Because when you look at the Bible and you look at the Prince of Kings, what was his purpose? Was it all about him? Ladies and gentlemen, if it was all about him, he wouldn't have hung on that tree. He would not have hung on that tree if it was all about him. And see, we have been sold a bill of goods that being a child of God is all about how we will benefit. Let's continue. Verse 6, and has made us kings and priests unto God. Who are we kings and priests unto? God. We are kings and priests for God. We are kings and priests on behalf of God, which means that our kingship is only as good as our relationship with God. Can I get an amen? Evidently, that went somewhere up here that people didn't hear that. So I'm going to say that again. Our kingship is only as effective as our relationship with God. So all of these people who are me-focused when it comes to being a king, they are not kings unto God. Okay? Still in verse 6. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's why we are made kings and priests. God gets the glory. The Prince of the Kings gets the glory. We are just doing our jobs. Oh my God, Barry, you mean a king has a job? Our focus tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is what does it mean to be a king unto God? It says in verse 6, has made us kings and priests. And when Brother Brock was talking about this, this just cracked me up. He said, you know, there are so many of us in the body of Christ, when we hear we are kings and priests, we think about a Hallmark card. You are the greatest. You are so good. You are wonderful. You're the best mom ever. That's not what that means. Okay? That's not what that means. This is not a statement to make you feel great and happy. This is not a pronouncement on you. This is not a christening. This is just who you are. This is your spiritual DNA. You were born a king and a priest. But our focus tonight is on king, okay? We are born into the role of a king to serve. We are born into the role of a king to serve, not to be served. You don't have to turn to it, but in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. To give his life a ransom for many. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. See, already we have shot holes in what it means to be a king in terms of how it's presented today in the body of Christ. We've already shot holes in that. And we're going to continue that in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 4, if I can ever get there. Okay, verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is what?
Power.
That word power, authority, final say-so. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? In other words, who can challenge that power? Who can challenge that power? No one can challenge the power, the authority of a king. Raise your hand, ladies and gentlemen. Raise your hands. This verse is talking about you. About you. Well, Brother Barry, right now, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. See, this is never about how you feel. God said this is who you are. Whether you feel like it or not, that's who you are. I'm going to use Stephen, for example. Love you, Stephen. Stephen may have had times in his life that he didn't feel like a Johnson. But I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. His feelings didn't matter. He was a Johnson. Still is. His feelings don't matter in that. See, you are a king. Whether you feel like it, whether you feel like you're a roadkill, it doesn't matter how you feel. You are a king. And the Bible says that when the king speaks, there is power. There is authority. People do what he says when the king speaks. But see, we've been taught in the body of Christ a whole different picture of a king. We've been taught that a king has a Rolls Royce. We've been taught that a king has a mansion. We've been taught that a king is rolling in dough. It's all about me. But it's not. It's not. And the biggest challenge we have in the body of Christ is helping people understand who they really are and why they are really here. Why you are here. If we could ever get our minds settled on why we were here and then functioning in the way we're supposed to function, ladies and gentlemen, your life would be different. Different. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who shall say unto him, what doest thou? In other words, who can say, why are you doing this? Doesn't matter why he did it. He's the king. Okay? We're going to look at three examples of kings this evening. The first one is King Saul. And you know why we're going to look at King Saul, ladies and gentlemen? He was the first king appointed by God. That's significant. And you're going to see why. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 9. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, look at verse 15. It says, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hands of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold the man whom I spake of to thee, this same shall reign over my people. I want to call your attention to a couple of things. You see where God anointed Saul? That word anointed means to consecrate. But I want you to hear this, ladies and gentlemen. It means to be set apart for a specific job. You are anointed for a specific job, and that is to be a king unto God. That's why you have that anointing. Okay? The word captain is the word ruler or commander. In ancient times, no king, you're going to love this one, no king was esteemed who was not also an able warrior. No king was esteemed who was not also an able warrior. In other words, if you were a king, ladies and gentlemen, no, since you are a king, ladies and gentlemen, no one is going to mess with you unless you are not an able warrior. Then that person, that spiritual entity, will mess with you over and over if you are not indicating that you are a warrior. Can I get an amen for Ephesians chapter 6? Okay. Now, I want you to notice something about this first king. What was God's expectation of this first king? He will be over whose people? My people. So the first thing we see about a king is a king over God's people. They happen to be in his kingdom for this example, but they are God's people. So do you see that? It also says God appointed him captain to save whose people? God's people. And that word saved, I really like it, especially when I contrast it with the word reign that we're going to see in just a few minutes. That word saved, it means to be open, wide or free, and that is by implication to be safe. So in other words, a king makes sure that the people of his kingdom are safe wherever they go. Okay? And what's the other thing we see in these verses? That he will reign over whom? My people. Are you seeing the pattern? Why are we kings, ladies and gentlemen? Because God needs someone to be over his people, to take care of his people, to keep them safe. And then this word reign, it means to enclose, by analogy, to hold back. In other words, the king is to set boundaries for the people. Okay? And so when I look at the word save and reign, the analogy for me is like parenting children. Because we want our children to be safe. We want them to be able to roam as much as they possibly want to roam, but also confine them to where they can go and keep them safe, right? That's what God is talking about. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Kings, their first obligation, their first mode of action is not to take care of themselves. Their first mode of action is not to get a Bentley. It's not to get a mansion. It's not to have millions and millions of dollars. Their first reason for being is to take care of God's people. How many of you have heard that from the pulpit? Okay. God's expectation is that kings unto him will rule in the same way he would rule if he was here on earth. And we know that God, his whole thing is he wants people saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Look at Samuel chapter 10. We're going to look at one verse. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, Saul's head, kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over what? His inheritance." And there is a verse in Psalm chapter 2, I believe it is, where God says, "I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. I will give you those who are not born again for your inheritance." In other words, for you to go after and get. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? Our hearts are not where God's heart is. We are not in a place, most of the body of Christ, where we want to go get the heathen. We don't care about the heathen. The heathen can go burn in hell for all we care. General statement, but it's true. When you listen to people talk, that's what they're saying. The heathen can go burn. Even though I'm the king, I'm supposed to be going after them. They can go burn. Because I don't love them the way my father loves them. Now notice it said anointing. There, and we also saw anointing in chapter 9. There is an anointing, an empowerment, a gifting that comes with being a king that enables us to fulfill the role God has designed for us to fulfill. There is an anointing, an empowerment, a gifting that comes with being a king. When Samuel poured the oil on Saul, it was a public acknowledgement that the Lord's hand was upon him and that he had set him apart to do something that no one else in Israel could do. That no one else in Israel could do. Now, when we got born again, when we received God's DNA, we were set apart to do what no one in this world can do. Jesus is our example. He did what no other person who does not have the life and nature of God could do. He forgave sins, healed, delivered. He did all of that. No other person on earth could do that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you. That is now you. because you have been anointed. You have been made a king and a priest. God's expectation, the king will use his anointing, empowerment, and gifting to bless God's people and to expand the kingdom. And to expand the kingdom. When you look in at Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus called all the apostles, he showed them what he would be doing as a son in the kingdom to bring others into the kingdom. And the primary thing that Jesus did, and what we see in Matthew chapter 4, he healed people. By healing people, he got the message out that, hey, there's something different happening in this world that did not happen before I arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, the same can be said of you. There is something different going on now because you see me here that was not happening before I arrived. Arrogant? No, that's not arrogant. That's what God's word says. That's what it says. When you are in a situation, things are different. Things are supposed to be different. You know, I get tickled sometimes when I think about pastor, because pastor says that when he's on an airplane, that's the safest place to be. That's the safest place to be because he's on that airplane. Do you hear what he just said? That's the safest place. No matter what happens, you're going to be good on this airplane with me because I'm here. How many of us have that attitude? This is the safest place to be. How many of us have the attitude on our jobs? This company is okay. I'm here. As long as I'm here, this company is going to be fine. Is that not the same thing? Is that not the same thing? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It is. We have to understand, as I said on Sunday, we are so much more than we realize. We have been beaten down so much by religion to believe that we are not everything that the Bible says we are. We have got to get back in this book and see that when Jesus moved and when Jesus did what he did, just put your name in there. Anna, raised the dead. Michelle, raised the dead. Elvina, raised the dead. Just put your name in there. It applies. The only difference between you and Jesus is that he's now in heaven and you're not. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. Okay. Let's look at King Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, and you all know the story. So we're just going to pick it up in verse 5 of chapter 3. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. God appeared to King Solomon and said, ask what I shall give thee. John chapter 14, the scripture references are in your notes, but you don't have to turn to them. Let me read them to you. John chapter 14, verse 13 and through verse 15. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? Is that not what God told Solomon? Ask of me what you will. Just listen. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive. Ask and ye shall receive. That sounds like a guarantee to me. Am I missing something? Do you read that differently? If you ask, you shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. Because you received what you asked for. Okay? In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor be counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, verse 11, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise any like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. These few verses are chalked full of what it means to be a king in the eyes of God. When Solomon said, But I am a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. He was demonstrating humility as a king. Demonstrating humility. Solomon said, thy people, which thou hast chosen. He recognized that he was king only because God had chosen him to rule over his people. Over his people. And Solomon says, God, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. In other words, I will rule your people the way you would rule your people if you were here. Okay? And all I want, Lord, is an understanding heart to discern between good and bad. Why did he want that? So that he could judge God's people. In verse 10, it said, this thing pleased the Lord. What thing? The fact that he asked for understanding and the ability to discern between good and bad. That is the thing that pleased God. Ladies and gentlemen, how unselfish can you be than to say, all I want, I don't want anything for me. All I want is to be the best I can be. To take care of your people. And see, right now, that is not the attitude of most in the body of Christ. It's not to take care of God's people. And the thing blessed God so much that Solomon didn't ask for long life for himself. He didn't ask for long life for himself. He didn't ask for riches for himself. Is that not what we hear over and over in the prosperity message today? Living like a king, living like a son of the king, having this, having that. Solomon didn't ask for any of that, ladies and gentlemen. He was already king. He didn't ask for any of that. He didn't even ask for life, for the life of his enemies. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. And he didn't ask for honor. He didn't ask for any of those things. That made an impression on God. That made an impression. But you know, if the flip side to this, if he had asked for it, God would have given it to him. Because God says, ask of me what you will. God would have given it to him if he had asked. But since he did not ask, it really blessed God's heart. So you have to know, ladies and gentlemen, that many of us in the body of Christ are not blessing God's heart right now as kings. We are not. We are not. How do we fulfill the role of a king for the Prince of Kings? Look at verse 14. Let's read verse 13 again. I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches, honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou shalt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days. I will lengthen thy, what days is he talking about lengthening? His days as a king? I will lengthen your days as a king. I want you to think about that. Remember King Saul? God did not lengthen his days, did he? No. You know, he cut short his days, and none of his descendants served as kings. You see that? Solomon's request benefited others and not himself. A king takes care of those he has the rule over. Who and what do we have rule over today? Everyone and everything that does not have the life and nature of God. As kings, we have rule over everyone and everything that does not have the life and nature of God. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. Let that sink in. That is what we are called to do. If you want to make a little note here that just came to mind, write in the margin Psalm chapter 150. That's our honor. That is our privilege to rule over the kingdom of darkness. Everyone and everything that does not have the life and nature of God. But the key, ladies and gentlemen, is not that we rule. The key is how we rule. The key is how we rule. That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. One more example. King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, are you seeing God's king, what it means to be a king unto God? Are you getting a picture? Are you getting a picture? 2 Chronicles chapter 17. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, Jehoshaphat has been made king. It says in verse 1, and Jehoshaphat his son, well, that's not what I want, is it? Verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments, verse 4, and not after the doings of Israel. Jump down to verse 7. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and to Obadiah and to Zechariah and to Nathaniel and to Micaiah, to teach the cities of Judah. To teach the cities of Judah. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. What did the king instruct his princes to teach? Oh. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Why? Jehoshaphat the king taught the people the ways of the Lord. And because he taught them the ways of the Lord, there was no war against Jehoshaphat. A king unto God would make sure the people are taught the ways of the Lord. A king unto God will make sure the people are taught the ways of the Lord. In these three examples, ladies and gentlemen, we have seen God's picture of a king. We have seen God's picture. And the picture that God has of a king, that the king is going to be over my people, that the king is going to make my people safe, that the king is going to reign over my people, and that the king is going to teach my people my laws. You don't hear that today in the church. But that is what we see when we look at the kings in Scripture. The kings, and we know Saul started out good and then he messed up. But what God wanted him to do is what was important. The fact that he didn't do it is a message for another day. But what God originally wanted him to do is the same thing he wants us to do. And of course, we know that Solomon is a great example. He also started out doing what God wanted him to do, got off the track. But what God shows us in Scripture is what blessed God about Solomon. And see, all of those things, ladies and gentlemen, that's who you are. That's who you are. And the same thing that these kings accomplished when they were in alignment and harmony with God, that is what you can accomplish. As a king who has said that I am God's servant. I am a king, but I am God's servant. So I am a king not because it's going to benefit me. I am a king because it's going to benefit the kingdom of heaven. Amen? It is so important for us to start looking at our lives from Scripture and not looking at our lives from what we have been taught all these years. Because most of the things that we have been taught about who we are, it's not who we are. It's not who we are. And so tonight, we just looked at what it means to be a king in God's eyes and the responsibility that carries in God's eyes. Because see, the first thing we talked about being a king, we were anointed. We were empowered. We were given the gifting to accomplish that. So it's not a matter of whether you can live as a king and do what the king is supposed to do. You've already been given that. And so now we just have to live it. And live it the way God wants us to live it.